Welcome to another episode of the Collapsing Horse Science Fiction Radio Hour. I am the story keeper. What lives of quiet desperation we live. This episode we bring you Ross Dungan's The Irrational Number, a near-future science fiction piece in which medical science has advanced and expanded into alternative and unfamiliar techniques in its quest to aid patients. This is a tale of memory and intimacy. A speculative look at ways we might remember the past in the future. And what's cool is, if you play it backwards, you hear a Led Zeppelin B-side, which is pretty untrue. People of this room, unhook your whooping inhibitors for The Irrational Number by Ross Dungan.
Right. Morning.
Afternoon.
Ah, yes. Apologies. Just, buses, you know?
Go on.
Well, to where exactly? I mean, a bus is the cause of why I'm late.
The 140 bus, yeah. You take it from next to where the spire used to be. That particular stop, if I recall correctly, is still numbered 7353, because Dublin Bus haven't updated their real-time information sequencing since the early 2020s.
Okay.
Well, because I was able to recall it correctly, I was also able to track that the 140 arrived at that stop at its scheduled time of 11:15 and left at 11:16, which would have, give or take a few minutes, got you here for our scheduled time of 11:45. What time is it now?
Well, it's not... Well, I can tell you that it's not 11:45 anyway.
No, Russell. It's 12:45. Seems to me like the bus held up its end of the bargain, but yet you're currently, well, throwing it under itself, aren't you?
Yeah. Bit too pleased with yourself for that one, weren't you? I'm sorry I'm late. My meeting, the one off-site, it just overran. I'll take your unchanging demeanour and continued silence as tacit confirmation that you forgive me and are ready to begin.
Russell, I was ready to begin at 11:30 a.m.
Also, most patients choose to wait outside their technician's clinic.
Yeah, but...
As in, just to be more direct on that, stop waiting inside my clinic.
Do most technicians also give out the code of their clinic door to patients?
Well, if you're ready then, I think we can cast off.
What memory are we opening with?
Just after we go through the reinitiator, of course.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
This arrangement is based on adhering to protocol as much as we can. So if it instructs us to begin at least every third session with a reinitiator, then I think that's protocol that we ought to follow.
And if we're adhering so rigidly to protocol, doesn't it carry?
Yes, Joyce, a technician is not supposed to have past history with the patient. See, I'm actually a bit ahead of you there, hence me saying, protocol-wise, we need to stick to as much as we can. But in this instance, that's obviously not something we can do much about. Well, except, of course, that we can. If it bothers you, you can always request an alternate technician. I mean, there are 480 of us here.
Do you think that's something I'm likely to do, Russell? Look, I was just pissed off at you for pissing me around this morning. That's why I said it.
It's not just today. You say it a lot.
Really? I say it a lot? Will I tell you the precise number of times I've actually ever said that in here?
Christ, no. Obviously, I don't require you to...
I've said it 8 separate occasions. Let's cross-check the past recording of these sessions if you don't believe me.
I don't... I was just making a point.
So, over the last 2 years and 7 weeks, across 207 of these sessions, I've said the phrase, technicians aren't supposed to know their patients or other variants of it exactly 8 times. Or don't you agree?
You said it more.
I've just literally crossed...
Outside of here.
I won't say it again then, okay? Look, I just wanted to make you feel bad for being late, and in truth, I just really hate the reinitiator. It's as boring as all shit, but let's just do it.
So, to begin, can you tell me your name, your date of birth, and the address of your first...
My name's Joyce Selby. I'm 58. First known address was 11 Glen Lyon Grove, Malone, Belfast 9. And what were your parents' birth names, Joyce? Ingrid O'Brien and John Selby.
Well, thanks for sharing the load, but I should probably ask some of
the... Any past medical history, Joyce? I had an operation to fuse my C6 and C7 vertebrae 14 years ago, but no, nothing particularly pertinent to this. I see. So can you tell me what prompted you to undergo the Hyatt test in the first place? 2 years ago, I ran into someone who had been a visiting PhD student when I was first lecturing in Limerick 28 years ago. She'd only gone to 3 of my lectures, but I was troubled when I couldn't initially recall her name. And yes, I'm quite aware most of your other patients have far more glaring first indicators, but my powers of recall are notably superior to most of your other patients. So, I underwent the Hyatt test in the Beacon Hospital, and on Friday, 15th of August, 2031, I received the results and confirmation. And does the Alzheimer's gene run in your family, Miss Selby? No, but my father-in-law developed it before his death, so I'm familiar with the ins and outs of the condition. And are you similarly familiar with what recall therapy is, what it is we do here? Yes, it's a holistic treatment developed to slow the spread of the disease. A patient is immersed in simulations of some of their past and then tested on their details. And when a patient begins to struggle recalling certain moments when there was no difficulty before, it serves as an indication of the spread of the Alzheimer's disease. Actually, Mrs. Selby, we find the word tests carries a slightly punitive feel to it. We prefer the phrase re-examinations. Well, tests is what they actually are, so, you know, tough tits.
When you're at a party and someone says, oh, sorry, wait right there, just have to grab something, have they ever come back?
If you compare our last reinitiator, you'll find that that was not only every question asked, but it was also verbatim the exact exchange.
Yes, I don't need to play it back. I know it's the same, but if you want to hear, fuck, that was impressive, you're rapping on the wrong door.
It wasn't done for compliments, it was done to alleviate the tedium.
The tedium's why you hate it.
I don't dislike it because I have to say Alzheimer's a few times, if that's what you're implying. I'm quite far from the living statues who frequent these halls without knowing why. I'm still very much aware of why I'm here.
Yes, just because we know something doesn't mean we can't also be actively burying it, Joyce. But it doesn't matter. Let's just start.
No. Sorry, you can't just say that and expect no comment.
All right, I take it back then. Let's just start. If you'll apply the blindfold, please. Right. The first item of today's session, selected randomly, of course, is from November 8th, 2005 at 5:42 p.m. And the location is your office in the History Department on the fifth floor of the Arts and Humanities buildings of UCD. You're 36 years of age here.
Funny how it's supposedly random selection, yet you seem to feature in these memories pretty much every single time. Yes, I recall the day, if that's what you're asking. It's the first time you and I met.
Can you describe the room, your office, to me from memory?
This was November, before the building was renovated, so it was sparsely decorated. 4 empty black wooden shelves, a wooden black desk, and a chair either side of it, both folding chairs, one white, one grey, neither from the same set. The back fourth quadrant of the white one has a small jam stain on it. Above, there's one cream fluorescent lighting fixture hanging in the middle of the room. One of the two tubes is gone, and even though the fixture is just 2 years and 3 months old, rust has started to cover the top 3.5 inches of either end of it because of the damp in the ceiling.
What were you wearing?
Black pumps, navy jeans, and a white cardigan. And a floor-length navy Macintosh raincoat because they'd refused to turn the heating on.
And what activity are you?
Correcting a set of essays. I can say which specific set, if you like.
No, that's all right. Now, someone will enter shortly.
You'll enter. There's no point in saying someone. It's not like it's going to be a fucking twist when you, the 24-year-old you, walks in. Now, am I preempting word for word on this memory or what?
I was thinking we do chaptering, actually.
Well, fuck that. Why waste time doing something drawn up to give the living statues an armchair ride through their mouth?
Yeah, so I've already selected chaptering. It's not an armchair ride, it's just a different type of challenge. It's a way of seeing if you can recall the titles you bestowed upon each individual section when the memory was being extracted.
Yes, I'm actually aware of that, Russell, because I can still relay, comma for comma, entire conversations from 35 years ago, which is also why chaptering might be neat for others, but it's facile for me.
Right, so chaptering it is.
And this great to know I'm being listened to.
Is a simulation from 23 years ago, taking place at 5:42 p.m. on November 8th, 2005. You're currently correcting papers on the click. Can you recite the first chapter title, please?
Well, it's entitled Correcting, I believe. Just about able to reach for that one.
Next chapter title on the next click.
The One Who Knocks.
Yep, sorry. Yep, come in, please.
Next chapter title on the next click.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. Office hours.
Sorry, I didn't... You're still within your office hours, aren't you?
Yeah, you're okay there till 6 p.m. But I do have to go at pretty much 6 on the dot, if that's all right. I've hours on Friday afternoon as well, though.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So would you like to come in now, or would you prefer to wait till later in the week?
Yeah, I might maybe... Actually, no, I should. Now's fine, I think. I'll come in now.
Sit down.
The idea is you relay the specific name you gave the chapter when the memory was being built.
Oh, sit down next to me.
Yep. Told you'd regret being so flowery with the chapter titles.
Sorry, I'm sitting here, but you probably don't have the faintest idea who I
You're
am.
You're the first year in my early modern Irish history lectures, yes? The boy who doesn't take notes.
Not a boy.
Isn't there 150 students in that class?
Well, yes, that's fair enough. A boy who doesn't take notes might have been a more accurate thing to say.
Right. It's just I'm also 24 as well. Mm. You know. So, you know, the boy part isn't, you know...
The Islington helicopter...
So, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I'm slightly conscious of the time and, truth be told, the time of year as well. But are you possibly here because you're looking to transfer from the course?
Sorry?
About an hour ago, I passed you waiting by our watercolour. So I'm guessing, and again, apologies if I'm wrong, that you're doing the department rounds. Sorry, they still want your lecturers to confirm you attended a certain percentage of the course before they allow a transfer, don't they?
I'm not looking for a transfer.
Oh. Sorry, I was being presumptuous then. I just assume that everyone's always angling away to move away from my course.
I'm not actually on your course, Miss Selby.
Little evidence.
My name's Russell. Sorry, I didn't... That was probably the first thing I should have said, and I'm only saying it now. Sorry. I'm also not a serial killer, but I acknowledge I've offered very little evidence to back that up in the last few seconds.
Russell, could you maybe tell me why you're here?
Right. That's totally fair. So, I'm from North London, from Islington, and I...
Could you, and I don't mean to push you, expedite this slightly?
Right, yes, of course, because you're massively uncomfortable. Well, I studied physics with theoretical physics at the Imperial College in London. That is the name of the degree. It's not just me saying it twice like it's a tick or something. But... Now I'm doing a master's, my master's, here, and the... Sorry, I'm just trying to get the sequencing of this correct. So, on my timetable...
Dial A for acronym.
Everything's... It's all in acronyms. AM equals applied mathematics and, you know, so forth. And they somehow had something called EMIH on my sheet, so I went along, but it was your lecture. Sorry, EMIH is Early Modern Irish History.
Yes.
Well... I went there, and I realised, obviously fairly quickly, that there'd been a discrepancy. And when I looked again, I saw actually that there were further 3 history lectures on my timetable, so they must have spliced a bit of mine with... I'm not actually sure of the official explanation, because truth be told, I'm a few letters deep, and I still haven't...
Can I stop you there, Russell? For a moment?
8 weeks' notice.
So this was a discrepancy you discovered at the beginning of the academic year. That I understand, but... There's been a full 7 set of lectures since then.
Oh, God, Has there really been seven?
Well, it's week eight now, so yes.
Surname... No, actually, no. Checking in. Checking in now. Surname's next.
Are you... And obviously it's fine if you are, but are you emailing security?
Well, I'd probably contact them through a more urgent conduit if I was doing that, Russell. I'm just cross-checking your file. And yes, you are doing a master's here in applied mathematics and theoretical physics in the lab of Dr. Philip Rice. I just wanted to check that before we went any further.
Right, well, obviously that's fair enough.
Surname, like I just said.
You know that it's against university regulations to continually attend lectures that aren't part of your curriculum? That it can be treated with academic suspension or, in more severe cases, an expulsion?
Yes, well, no, actually, no. I didn't know the specifics, but yes, I assumed that that would probably be the case, yes.
And that still didn't dissuade you from trying to earn the guts of an auxiliary BA in
history? How did you know my second name?
I'm sorry?
You entered my details into the database and found my, I don't know, an enrollment record of some kind, I assume, or whichever it was. But all I said was that my first name was Russell.
I knew your name because it was down on my register for the start of the year. And the matter at hand, to remind you, is that...
But there's... Sorry, I know I'm not in a position to be asking the questions, but across your different classes, there's surely over 1,000 different students on your register, on that register.
The aunt shit?
I'm sorry, My aunt, when she was in Durham in the 70s, she was able to...
I don't know, Russell, that your aunt is hugely relevant right now to...
No, not at all. Probably not. It's just that she died about 3 months ago, so I'm almost certainly shoehorning her in here, but maybe there is a crossover, because... Well, I've started, so I'll finish. She used to... My aunt, that is, she used to be able to recite pi to over 2,000 decimal places. She was one of three women in a class of about 500 men. And she'd win prizes for it, the recitation at these invitational functions. And the top guys in the class, you know, the future actual rocket scientists, they'd spend weeks in the build-up poring over these logbooks. But my auntie, she'd just look at it once the night before, and then she'd go in and beat the bollocks off. Don't know why I felt the need to introduce the word bollocks there, but all the same, she'd beat them, bollocks. Bollocks and all. And I just wondered if you were, if you'd a thing with names or something similar. You're right, it is actually contextually quite irrelevant to what you're asking me about. It's just that the more I talk, I realise I haven't actually really spoken about her yet to anyone since she died. Haven't actually spoken to anyone here about anything, really, because it's more or less impossible to connect with them, which might be why it's all coming up now at you for some reason, but I assure you I wish I had just shut up about it, even more than you, probably. We were... Let's move it back around to my potential suspension.
Could she recite other things as well?
The periodic table, the chemical names and weights too. I think it was mostly things she was really interested in, her direct subjects. Are you the same?
Not really, no. It's a bit wider than that. Things like a list of names, the back and forth of a conversation, the architecture of a room, the picture or the audio, it's always just stayed for whatever reason.
Like a photographic memory, right. Okay. And you can, you can just call something up again and flick through it until you see that my second name is Jacobs?
Yes, sometimes.
Right, fuck.
Peer review?
Anyway, that's probably the question sufficiently...
How do your peers respond? I mean, like, let's say there's a dispute over a date or a, I don't know, about the specific order a set of early modern Irish villagers were enslaved by my ancestors in. Do the arguments not get a bit redundant when your recall is around?
Most of them don't know the extent of my recall, actually.
Oh, how many people do?
Well, you're probably the first person I've told in 19 years.
And when you say probably...
You are.
Right, well, I do feel a bit, I don't know, honoured to know.
New girl?
They'll probably figure it out, though, your colleagues, as they get to know you better.
It's easy enough. I just don't always speak up when I know the answer. And also, I've known them for 7 years, so I think I'm relatively home free.
Are you not new here as well?
No. 7 years, like I said.
Oh, right.
The 7-year betrayal.
Well, I guess I just made an assumption about... well, no, in actuality, I think I just liked the idea that you might be new as well.
Why exactly?
I don't know, I just... You have a kind of ease about you up there. It's sort of hard to describe. And I don't know, I just figured, well, if someone's capable of achieving that, then maybe it's not impossible, you know, to find your feet here. But now you've gone and betrayed me by having secretly worked here for 7 years, so that's all gone then.
I think you'll be fine here.
Peer review part two.
Look, it's not great advice, because you're clearly a very intelligent young man, but you may need to hide that intellect under a bushel a bit more, you know? Just when talking to peers a bit younger than you, they might not be as mature as you.
I agree, that really isn't great advice.
No, it's just... Some of them probably aren't at the stage where...
Well, with all due respect, that's their problem, not mine. I'm not going to dumb myself down just because the alternative puts people off. No offence.
Offence taken.
Well, that actually wasn't offensive until you said no offence.
Ah, yes.
I don't know that me withholding retained facts equates to straight up dumbing down.
I'm
or...
sorry, I didn't mean to.
Actually... I really think we shouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, sure, sorry.
Joyce? Did you hear that?
Just give me a second.
So maybe we get back to the matter at hand, okay?
Yeah, that's fine, of course.
Joyce?
Yeah, just a second.
So if we pick up back...
It's just, you know, you're... If you think about it in a way, you're pretty much pie.
Joyce?
Yeah, I'll come back to it.
I'm... Pretty much pie?
You know, because you have these... Sorry, pie, the irrational number. I mean, not like fucking steak and kidney. I mean, they're like the irrational number. You know, it's like most people think you're, you know, just 3.14, which is, you know, pretty impressive. You're an esteemed lecturer, so if the population are numbers, they're mostly ones and twos, whole numbers. So you don't often get that at 3.14. But then, the reality is, behind that line, you actually extend beyond so much further because you have this... You can do this thing that pretty much no one else can, and most people, they don't have the faintest idea about it. So, in terms of uniqueness, if the world is numbers, it makes you pretty much pie. But the rest of them, if they realized how, if they glimpse the rarity of you, well, I can see why you just tell them that you're 3.14 and leave it at that.
That's a new click there, Joyce. Joyce.
Yeah, I heard it.
Ah, the content silence of someone basking in their correct decision to quietly email security when they had the chance.
It's crazy that type of algebraic interplay doesn't connect with 18-year-olds on a mass scale.
Oh, sorry, I'm not great at identifying my target audience, I think.
No, it was a very nice thing to say. It certainly appealed to this audience. So, was there a module in Irish history, or history in general, you particularly wanted to reconnect with?
No, I never actually really had a great... I unburdened myself of it pretty much the first chance I got after GCSEs.
So why are you dragging yourself to 4 lectures about it per week?
Well, I haven't really actually been attending the other 3 lectures all that much.
Joyce.
Come here to ask me. This one's called Come Here to Ask Me.
Russell, what is it that you... what did you come here to ask me exactly?
Well, how would you feel if... Well, would you have an objection to my continued attendance of your lectures?
And why would you want to continue to attend when you've just stated that?
Because I you were asking, I think, if I didn't have a great affinity for the subject, why am I... I think you were asking why I was still going.
Do I still need to?
Here to help.
Yes, so I'm very sorry. I'll get out right now. I just wanted to... Sorry, is basically what I wanted to say. I've clearly quite... just put you at a...
I'm not uneasy, Russell. It's just that I recognize that this conversation is going to be...
deeply misguided and deeply, deeply stupid, and I'll go now.
It's not... You don't need to start self-flagellating. It's... We're here to help students. To help you.
Suck.
And this, helping is what I'm interested in doing. It's our remit.
Well, as it's unlikely I'll be back here again, maybe inclusive of the campus as whole, could you possibly help me with the last thing then?
Something about a nail.
Well, that would depend on what it is, perhaps.
Could you answer that question about the lectures?
What?
Because I realize you didn't completely put the last nail in the... See, I know I'm going to... If there's even a small kernel of uncertainty there, I'll start spinning it into something later on, a misguided hope. Even though I'm here right now and I'm looking at you and I can plainly see there isn't any, but I still know enough about myself to...
Oh, God.
Could you answer it? The question about my still attending your lectures.
And how do you think I could possibly say yes to that?
A baseless belief that you might want to talk to me again as well?
That's my... I'm meeting someone downstairs at 6 p.m.
Office hours part two.
Well, the full weight of how fucking horrible this is, it just keeps re-upping and upping, and I'm very sorry.
Russell.
Yes?
You have my hours, don't you? My office hours? I know it can be hard getting to grips with... What I'm saying is, if you're having trouble settling in, you can drop by again. Okay?
All right.
So I'll need to just finish correcting these before I go?
Of course, yes, obviously. Well, until next time, then.
Good night, Russell.
Good night, Miss Selby.
Departures. I don't... sitting in a fucking chair. I don't fucking know, okay?
No longer correcting. That's the last one.
What was before that?
Correcting part two.
And before that, it was another one I missed completely.
A boy's baseless belief.
What were the others? The other missed ones?
So, before that, it was looking for the nail. And then when I say about not attending the three other lectures, around that point, that was recent history. And then just before that, when I'm comparing you to the irrational number...
What was that one?
It was Life of Pi.
What was the accuracy rating?
63%. Joyce, compared to the average, that's...
Well, how is it 63? I missed 5 out of 23. That doesn't stack up. There were inaccuracies in some of the ones I didn't miss, weren't there?
Look, we're allowed to have bad days. That's part of it.
Which
all.
Which ones?
Joyce, the purpose of... Look, naming arbitrary chapter titles are ultimately inconsequential. It's just an exercise.
Russell.
Yes.
Has this happened before?
Yes.
How many times?
Look, you... Like I said, like all the human race have bad days. It's not something...
Russell, I'd like you to answer that, please.
They began happening sporadically 6 months ago. And in the last month, they've started to become... more concentrated.
What time was our session scheduled for today?
12:45 p.m. Might seem like a hollow consolation, but all the bus info was spot on.
So, I'm a lot closer to midnight than I thought. And you've just been keeping it from me. But you're about to tell me, though, aren't you, that we've talked about this before?
On occasion, you can reset yourself a little, but it's not a hugely common occurrence. You're normally less... Your lucidity still...
Just because you know something, you can still be burying it, Joyce.
I didn't mean it to sound...
No. Just because we know something doesn't mean we can't also be actively burying it, Joyce. That was it, wasn't it? How long is it going to be before I can't differentiate that anymore?
We should probably park it there for today.
No, not just for today.
Yeah, well, that's the practical solution, isn't it? You're spot on there. You should probably just fuck out all your meds as well. Something's being taken from you. Do you think I don't understand?
Yeah, because it's not the same for you. You never had what I have, so you don't know what it's like to lose it.
You're not the objective truth, Joyce. You can't retain
every... Well, if I'm not, Russell, I'm pretty fucking close.
The morning of that memory, I found out my aunt had actually killed herself. Haven't told many people that. You included. But it happened. And just like it stirred the edges of my voice now, it would have been there back then as well. But I never told you any of that, so there's no trace of it there. But at the time, there was, or had to have been. You're not the sole possessor of our history. I mean, that day, I think you just said you should drop by again. I didn't think you'd qualified it by saying, if you're still struggling to settle in. Because I don't think it would have been enough for me to come back. If that was what you said. That's fine. I might not remember where I've put my house keys, but I remember enough about you to fill the fucking sea.
In the previous times we've gotten to this point, you talk me around about continuing treatment, I assume. What do you usually say?
Well, most of the time I just fuck it up, really. Straight up, end up saying something about it all being part of a process, and it just makes you more angry, and then you tend to find another rationale to keep going on in spite of the argument I'm offering.
Well, I doubt if it's because I'm angry at you.
Yes, it's mostly because you're angry at your situation, I get that, but it still stands that most of the time I can conjure up fuck all to say.
You said it twice, most of the time.
Well, on one occasion you... I think you're in a particular mood that time, because I've repeated what I said then since, and you thought it was, and I quote, a load of absolute shite. So I don't know if it's much good trying to replicate it again.
What was it?
Well, at the time, and I think now this is why it worked, we were talking of coastal rocks, so it was much easier to organically segue.
What was it, Russell?
We all come to a cliff edge. And each of us at different points, we drop off it. Notionally, we're supposed to look down, but we shouldn't ever. We should look up. We should never stop trying to get back up to the ledge. Even though there's no such thing as starting to fall up. I also appreciate in hindsight, it may have seemed like that had appeased you when in actuality it just confused you.
I've already hit the ground, Russell.
Well, that's pretty... You're just wrong. You can tell me the measurement of rust in a lighting fixture from a specific point in 2005. You can still do things that... If we start looking at what's below... You might as well just be down there already.
I just can't believe that, considering how many times you've probably said that, that it's still so unclear as a metaphor.
I'm not... I don't fucking practice it or... Well, maybe I should, but I don't know what kind of day it's going to be until I do. I can just tell you that I'll be here for each of them, irregardless. Even though you're very fucking annoying.
How
are you specifically so fucking annoying?
Now, how are you able to keep watching this?
Well, I only have a fairly simplistic answer for you.
When we first met, you once compared me to an irrational number as a chat-up line. When Derek and my divorce papers came through, you somehow made a reference to my being an hypotenuse. I think you can safely veer into more plain-spoken territory here. How are you able to watch this, to keep watching it?
Well, because tomorrow might be one of the good days. And on a lesser note, because I've been in love with you since the 8th of November of 2005.
Probably a stupid question, but that memory obviously wasn't randomly generated, was it?
No, it wasn't. I put that one on sometimes if you don't make any reference to the last session. When I know it, when I think it might be one of the harder days. I can't go home yet. I've got another patient in an hour, but I can... We can go for a walk for a bit, if you like.
Russell?
Yes?
What time is my slot tomorrow?
3:15 p.m.
Start telling me straight away next time if I get it wrong.
Okay.
I hope I usually say it back to you in these instances, by the way.
Which?
That I love you too.
You do actually, yes, fairly consistently.
Also, I'll know if you start re-gifting things to me, so don't get any fucking ideas, because I'll just innately know.
Of course. Can we go for that walk?
Yeah. Let's.
I do hope Russell completes his studies in physics and theoretical physics. It's so, so important to have an education. People sometimes say to me, hey, Keeps. People call me Keeps, but I don't like it. They say, hey, the story keeper, what's your favourite story? And while, like with my children, I don't have favourites, I do like to parade some of the best in front of the public. That was The Irrational Number by Ross Dungan. It was recorded live at the Sugar Club in Dublin and directed by Una Murphy. It was performed by Eleanor Methven, Ian Toner, Brefni Houlihan and Jack Gleason. Sound design and composition by Kevin Gleason and Cameron McCauley. Editing by Kevin Gleason. Tune in next time to the Collapsing Horse Science Fiction Radio Hour.